Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel just read, taken from Mark chapter 7. I've always been fascinated by this one little line in the text. It reads, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened." Let's set the stage for Jesus' words and actions, particularly this little phrase, he sighed. So Jesus is in an area called the Decapolis. This was an area of 10 cities that were right on the edge of Galilee. There was a mixture there of Jews, Samaritans, Syrians, and others. It was eclectic, strange, foreign to just about everybody. One of those places where no one could really call it home. So imagine, if you can, being in a land where you are pretty much a foreigner, even if you grew up there, but you're also deaf and basically mute. You can't hear, and because you can't hear, you can't talk. Add to that the fact that many people would consider you not only sick, but cursed by God because of your illness. That's a lot to lay on a person, isn't it? But it's not so far off from our own day. Every day we divide people into categories: the haves and have-nots, the beautiful people and everyone else, the givers, the non-givers, the with children's and without children's, married and unmarried, good people and not so good people. We use so many different ways to judge the people around us. And as often as not, we do it so that whatever our judgment is makes us look better than they. It gives us a sense of superiority over them. So that's this man's life. He is alone, deaf, mute, but not friendless. Despite all of his problems, someone cared enough about him to bring him to Jesus. They begged Jesus to heal him of his infirmities. Now, for most people, if you had an infirmity and you were to ask someone else to help, or you were to have someone else ask on your behalf, the last thing you would want, the absolute bottom on your list of how am I going to get out of this mess, the last thing you would want is for all of that to happen in front of a great big crowd. So Jesus, first of all, pulls him aside. He takes him away from the group of people. He gets the man alone. Jesus then does something that to our eyes is pretty gross, frankly. Jesus puts his finger into the man's ears, spits, and touches the man's tongue. Ew. Obviously, Jesus didn't know anything about germs. But there he is. Jesus shows the man in a very physical, real way, he knows what is wrong. That is how God works, dearly beloved. First of all, he comes down to your level. He gets into the germy garbage of your life, wades in without fear, and sees what is wrong. How comforting is that? God isn't out there somewhere ticking your problems off on a clipboard so that he can give you a memo about it at a later date. No, he's right there in your midst. The theologians would call that something like incarnational. But for us, we would say Jesus knows our every weakness because he's right here. So what does our Lord do next? The next thing he does is one of the most interesting and maybe oddest things in the whole story. Next, he looks up to heaven and sighs. What could be more human than a sigh? A sigh can show sympathy, exasperation, self-pity, exhaustion. Nearly the whole gambit of human emotion can all be expressed in a sigh. All in this one little, mostly inaudible expression. And by the way, you can tell if somebody is sighing even if you can't hear them, can't you? You can see it. You don't have to hear it. So this deaf-mute man could see what Jesus was doing even though he could not hear him. So what is Jesus sighing about? Was he sighing because things were so messed up in this man's life that he needed him so badly? Was he sighing because the problems never seemed to end? Was he sighing to show the man that he understood what was going on? Was he sighing because the whole human race is such a broken mess? Frankly, we don't know what Jesus was sighing about. But by using that most human of expressions, Jesus binds himself to you and me as the God in the dirt and spit and germy garbage of your life. But it doesn't end there. Next, our Lord, the Word made flesh, uses his word to change everything for our man here today. Ephatha, he says, which is Aramaic for be opened. Jesus talks to the man's ears. I kind of like that picture. He talks to the man's ears, coaxing sound into them by his word. He doesn't blast away, yelling in the man's ears so that he hears. No, Jesus' word does the work. He doesn't need to yell or get attention. He's simply doing what he does, bringing life and hope where there is none, all by his word. And Jesus, dearly beloved, is still opening ears by his word. Every time his word goes forth, preaching, holy baptism, in the words of holy absolution, in his word made flesh, in the sacrament of the altar, God is speaking in, coaxing life out of you where there was none. God is at work opening your ears so that you may hear of his great and mighty promises. St. Paul teaches us that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Listen to God's promise for you this day. For God is at work in you, creating faith, giving you hope, creating new life. And he sighs, not the exasperated sigh of the parent at the end of their rope, but the sigh of one who knows you, who knows what you need, and who promises to give it to you. Hear his word, trust his promises, receive his son at the table. Jesus has done all things well, and he has done it for you. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.